With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
The Lord. Okay, we're going to begin in Romans chapter 1, and it's verse 17 we want to look at. Please take notes as we go along this message this morning. It's good to see everybody. Amen. I know God's working in your heart and in your life. Praise the Lord. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Everybody say faith. Now, we don't want to teach on faith this morning, but faith is what you're persuaded of, what you're convinced of. Faith has to be something that rises up out of your spirit. It's not in your head. Faith is not a matter of your intellect. It comes out of your inner man. Amen? It works in your soul, but it doesn't come from your soul. It comes from your spirit. When you were born of the Lord Jesus Christ, your old man on the inside was recreated, and you were given a new man. God breathed upon you the breath of life, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and you received the mind of Christ, the spirit of God. Come on, everybody. You received God's faith. You received God's love. All of that is in you, just trying to get out. And the entrance of God's word brings light. So the Bible says that the spirit of the man is a candle of the Lord. He's bringing his word to light your spirit, to bring revelation, to transform your mind. Boy, if you just got that, you'd be good today. Amen. You take every thought according to Christ. That's the anointing, and the Word brings the anointing. Amen. For those of you who are new, let me tell you this. God's not going to speak to your head this morning. He's going to speak to your heart. He's going to speak to you in your spirit. And we are learning in the body of Christ to think out of our spirit and to cause our mind to be governed by spiritual thoughts. Amen. That rise up out of the mind of Christ. You're not going to dismiss your mind. You're going to get it in the right place. You're not going to dismiss your intellect. You're going to get it in the right position. There is a rank and an order that we need in the body of Christ. And there's a rank and order that you have to be in the body of Christ. Amen. And we're talking about righteousness. Righteousness cannot be felt. Neither can faith. Righteousness is not established when you get Holy Ghost goosebumps. Now, it's nice when it accompanies it, but righteousness is who you are. You have been born the righteousness of God in Christ. Just like I was born a Linhart, and Vinny and Caleb and Deacon, they're born Linharts. They're not trying to be a Linhart. They are born that way. And as I pour myself into them and educate them and grow them up, they'll begin to act like a Linhart is supposed to act. You've been born of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're supposed to act like Jesus. We're to grow up in Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, in the inside, you have become the righteousness of God in Christ. And I want to hit two things this morning. I want to log them right away. I call it pre-broadcasting. I'm giving you a preview of where we're going. Righteousness is a person. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness is a person. Amen. Righteousness is a position. Okay, we're going to stop there. We'll get some more later. Righteousness is a person, and it is a position. Now, let's come down and talk a little bit about the difference between justification and righteousness. Although some of the words in the King James and in other translations in the Greek are translated righteous or justified, there is a subtle difference in why they're translated that way. If you were to be justified, that means that your position or your, let's say it this way, your debt has been paid. If you owed a bill, whether somebody gave you a piece of paper that said you're released from that debt, which could be entered into the court system, or you have a canceled check. If that has happened to you, then that account has been justified. Everybody say justified.
Justified.
It's where somebody pays the price. Now the blood of Jesus justifies you and me. It cleanses us so we can walk in righteousness. Righteousness is a person and a position. Righteousness is who you are and it's who He is. He is the righteousness of God in Christ. He's the righteousness of God that was made incarnate, that became flesh. And then He decided that He would put His Spirit in you before the foundation of the world. He was going to put His Spirit in you. Therefore, you have become righteous. Now, in the Old Testament, everybody say Old Testament.
Old Testament.
All of the prophets and the kings and the priests were justified if they obeyed the law. Now, Pastor Josh just spoke about before the law. Okay? And Cain was not justified in the presence of God. But Abel was. Why? Now, I'm not contradicting Pastor Josh because what he said was absolutely true. Because it... Thank you. Because there's no forgiveness without what? The shedding of blood. Fruits and vegetables have no blood. And that's what Cain brought. But Abel brought the best, the first of his flock, and he slew it and offered it up to the Lord, and he was justified. Now, does that mean he was righteous? No, but righteousness was accredited to the saints in the Old Covenant who believed in the coming Messiah, whether it was Adam who was told about it, whether it was Noah, a preacher of righteousness, come on, Abraham who saw his day, Moses who saw his day and rejoiced, they received a righteousness as a credit. Just like somebody comes to you and says, here is a piece of plastic, you can spend $10,000 that you don't own. What's it called? Credit. They didn't own it. It was given to them in advance, a forbearance. Am I going too fast, y'all? I just want to catch up so we can go. In the old covenant, God forbear the sin. In the new covenant, He forgives. He gives in advance. Come on. The blood of goats and bulls can bring a person in the old covenant to a place of being justified, but it could not deal with the guilt. It could not deal with the sense of inferiority. It couldn't change you on the inside, so you were just going to sin again. Because that was your nature. Now, when you were born again, your nature has changed. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to sin, but here's the deal, guys. And you've got to get this through your head if you're going to grow up into Jesus. You know, you don't want to get to heaven with a bottle in your mouth or, you know, what do we used to call it, a binky in your mouth and a diaper on. You want to get to Jesus as a full-fledged adult in Christ. And how are you going to get there, guys? You got to understand that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it is your nature to be like Jesus. Say that. It is my nature to be like Jesus. It is your nature to be like Jesus. How do you know? Because when you sin, you know you're miserable. Because the Bible says in the old covenant that He would take your old stony heart that can't feel a thing and He would put a new fleshy heart in it, something He could squeeze. And then He said, I'll put my Spirit in you and it will compel you to do right. Your nature is to do right and you can't stand yourself and I can't stand myself when I'm in sin. Because my nature is to do right. Now, my memory, it has a different accounting of things, of what I had done B.C., before Christ, and what I've done after Christ. My memory, and I'm transforming that by the renewing of God's Word, and so are you. And my flesh has no intellect. It has no will. My flesh is hungry all the time. My flesh, it's tired, but it doesn't know how much to sleep. My flesh is thirsty, but it doesn't know when to stop drinking. My flesh is, just put it this way, my flesh is dumb. So my flesh is to be governed by my mind that is being governed by my spirit, which is governed by or being led by the Spirit of God. Now that's the due order of God. And when I'm living that way, guess what? It's awful hard to sin. But you can. And when you begin to understand who you are, that your nature is righteousness. See, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. You guys remember that? He who knew no sin was made to be sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. It goes on to say, or before that, that the old is gone and the new has come. And 1 Peter 2:24 says what? That on the cross, Jesus bore your sin in his body so you could die to sin. When? When you leave this earth? No, when you get born again. And then you could begin to live unto righteousness or live out of righteousness. I get this picture of somebody in a track and field, running the hurdles. And what we tend to do in our mind is we put the hurdles too high if we're going to run the race that God has us. Impossible. And what God does is he just takes those hurdles, all those religious hurdles, and he puts them all the way down. So you just got to barely lift your feet to go over them. We have to get in line. Now, you're not going to run very effectively if you're jumping as if you have to clear the hurdle. Come on. How many of you know it says in Christ? In Christ, the law was abolished in the flesh of Christ for those that are in Christ. We no longer live at the standard of the law. We live above the law. And you can't live above the law for very long if you don't understand who you've been made. In other words, you're not going to just fulfill the law. You're going to live above it because you're going to live by the Spirit that He put in you. If you try to live just at the level of the law, you're going to frustrate your spirit, you're going to frustrate your mind, and you're going to eventually spiritually get disconnected from any sort of leadership, and you'll never grow up in Jesus. Come on. See, here's the truth about righteousness. When you became a follower of Jesus Christ, when He caused His Spirit to come inside of you, He was pleased with you. And we tend to think sequentially as if we pass this level, we pass this level, we pass this level. Now God is more pleased with us. No, He's never going to be any more pleased with you than He was the minute you were born again. Now He'll cheer for you. He'll pat you on the back. Sometimes He'll just come down and flood the environment around you with His presence and say, I'm so proud of you. But He's always been proud of you. Since you became a follower of Jesus Christ, your spirit was made new and you entered into righteousness. You're not trying to get righteous. You are. And when you see that God calls you righteous and you begin to agree with it, your conduct and your actions will try to match up with that. It's an automatic thing. You remember we talked about the little ducklings coming out, and when they see Mama Duck, they imprint on her, and she imprints on them. And so it doesn't matter if it was Mama Duck or a puppy dog or if it was you. If you're the first thing that duck sees, that duckling is going to follow it. You know, just say, Mama, 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 and just follow. All of them just follow. It's in their nature. And when you were born again, your nature was changed, and God imprinted the Holy Ghost inside of you, and you were imprinted in Him. And where He leads, you follow. It's your nature. If you're fighting that, come on, you're not being led by your nature. Wow, that's a whole lot of teaching and preaching. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. We're here to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ so we can transform this city, this state, and the nations of the world. Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to read this and get this down in our hearts. For you to grab a hold of righteousness, or let me put it the way that I first learned it. For my perception of righteousness to change, changes my ability. Not that I'm given more ability, I'm just able to access the power of God that is in me. And that's what the Apostle Paul was writing as the Holy Spirit led him in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, and Philippians, when he's talking about the prayers that he prays. He prays that we're filled with might and power in our inner man, or that God would enlighten our heart, or the heart of our understanding, in the mind of Christ, so that we can begin to see who we are, what God has made us, the riches that are available for us to access for the kingdom of God, and the power that is in us. It's just like the power that God used when He raised Jesus. Actually, when God exerted Himself and raised Jesus from the dead. That's what we've got. And part of that, guys, an intricate part of what you were born again by and with and into is righteousness. And so in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, he writes, and he says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand." Think about that for a minute. Understanding just doesn't come. You have to make an effort in it, okay? And really, the understanding that we're looking for is to tap into the mind of Christ. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word again. Now stop there, and we're going to read on in a minute. The things that he's going to mention here are the basic foundations of being a Christian. It's an elementary truth. You learn how to add 1 plus 1 plus 1 in elementary school so that you can learn algebra, geometry, trigonometry, calculus, and so on. We don't have to go back over addition or multiplication tables or division tables when we're teaching geometry. What the Apostle Paul is saying here by the Holy Ghost is, come on, guys, you should be at the level of geometry by now, but you need someone to teach you about 1 plus 1 all over again. All right, let me add to that. Come on, you guys, you've been using a calculator too long. There's just some basic things that should be part of who you are. If you can't multiply 3 times 35, something's wrong in your head. 105. I hope. You've been using a calculator too long. You haven't been tapping into your intellect, you know. I mean, we need to go back and refresh it. We shouldn't have to do that now. All right. Verse 12 at the end there. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about how holy you are. The teaching is about suffering and sacrifice. The teaching about how the Jewish people celebrated Hanukkah and the Passover. Huh? About righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. It's not, you know, it's not a very familiar term that we use in our language today. I don't go up on the street, hey, dude, you're the righteousness of God, aren't you? It's just not right in our language, but to be righteous is to be right with God. To be justified is, it's just as if I'd never sinned. But to be righteous, you're born into that place, into a family of royalty, a family of priests. You're born into becoming a child of the living God, a co-heir with Jesus, a joint heir with Him. All of those things you cannot enter into by struggling and persevering and pushing through and making a decision. Those things are only entered into by family. Remember we gave the example the other day about my refrigerator. That it'd be awful odd if Pastor Josh came, walked in and got in my refrigerator. But my kids do it all the time because they're family. And I let you in on a little secret. If we ever want the whole family together at one time, all I have to do is sit down on the toilet. And there's no knock, just one by one. They all come in. I don't understand it. It comes from their mom. You know what? I learned to lock the door. And you know what? Camara knows how to put a little thing in there and click that lock. I'm serious. That's how, it's just something in our family. Now listen. Could you imagine, please don't, but how awkward would it feel if I were in there and then you walked in? That's what it's like for somebody who's not been born again to come into the presence of God. It's very intimate. It would be that awkward. And unfortunately, most of us feel like that's how we're coming into the presence of God. And that's not. There's a little pun there about the throne room. But when you come into the presence of God and you're not aware of your righteousness, you're going to feel just that awkward. All right. Romans chapter 3. We're getting into the review here and finish. Romans chapter 3. Please turn there. Again, your assignment last week was to read the book of Romans. And I would suggest that you read it again, the book of Romans. Let's get this thing inside of your heart. Romans chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Remember the second message that we taught in this series? This is the fourth. We just went over and over and over the law and the prophets testifying about the righteousness that was coming. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. When did you believe? Well, you believed in that divine way that we call faith when you saw it in your heart and you spoke it out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus was and is my Lord. That's when your belief connected with the Spirit of God and your candle was lit. You became a son or a daughter of God. In right standing with Him, no past to affect your future. And guys, remember, if you're coming into the presence of God and you're thinking that your past is affecting your future, then you need to refresh and renew your mind about the righteous position that you have. God chooses to remember your sin no longer. And if you keep camping out on your sin, it's going to affect every single second of your future. Now, that doesn't mean that you sin flippantly, because when you truly get a grasp in your heart of what the righteousness of God is in your life, it will change your conduct. See, we don't ignore the things of the law, but through being led by the Spirit, we uphold the things in the law. So guys, if you're living according to the righteousness of God in Christ and you're being led by the Spirit, every time you go to step out and you know that you're breaking a law that is written, come on, your inner man is saying, I shouldn't do that. That's beneath me. You know what I'm saying? That's a good thing. I remember when there was a time I could sin and I didn't give a hootie. I didn't care. I didn't have guilt. Thank God now I do. And here's the truth. You can go sit in a bar at night and you can stop coming to church and you can start acting and cussing like a sailor. You could even try to drug yourself up with whatever they got on the street today. And I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to numb it. If you've been born again, you are going to have an irritation inside of your spirit when you step out of the law of love and the law of the Spirit. That's because your nature is to do right. That's why you can't feel righteousness. You are righteous. Now, I can feel the presence of God at times. And praise God. But just listen, just because I got goosebumps doesn't mean that God's present. And just because God is present doesn't mean I have goosebumps. But when I worship the Lord, when I praise the Lord, He inhabits those praises and He comes. Whether I feel it or not. Yes, I like it when I feel it. But that doesn't give more weight to the truth that He is present. Just like righteousness. You could hang around your mother-in-law and you could hang around your Auntie M or whoever, and at the end of the day, you might not feel righteous. Anybody know anybody like that? You hang around them, you just don't feel righteous any longer? But are you righteous? Yes. And we have to begin to walk like Abraham walked. How many of you know Abraham made mistakes? Of course he did. But God credited to him righteousness. And he was able to change the way that he walked, the way that he talked, the way that he thought. He changed and conducted himself in manner with the revelation that God credited him righteousness. And Abraham didn't have that spirit on the inside that changed his nature. If he was able to do it, and unfortunately, in the body of Christ, we've only taught the Abraham kind of faith. That's only in a type and a shadow of your faith. You've got the spirit of faith. Come on. Your nature's been changed. The anointing just doesn't come upon you. It dwells within you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Come on. He would lead you and guide you and show you things to come. He would compel you to do right. Your nature is not the nature of Abraham. But you can set your mind like Abraham did. But praise God, I can go beyond that and take my thoughts captive according to the anointing that abides within me and teaches me all things. Praise the Lord. Am I being too animated for you this morning? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If you guys keep pulling, the anointing will be present. Now, the anointing cannot be pushed. Just like you can't push a rope. Just like, you know, you can take a cow or a camel to water, but you cannot make them drink. You can't produce the desire inside of them. That's in your realm. That's your part of the equation. You've got to come drawing on the anointing. Don't draw on the man. Draw on the anointing and let it come out. Amen. And if you're not thirsty before you come on a regular basis, then you need to get yourself up out of bed and wash your hair and clean that stuff out of your eyes and put on your clothes and get ready emotionally and spiritually. So that you don't cheat the person next to you. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Now if the ministry that brought death..." You really want me to do that? Just a minute, guys. Okay. Go to Romans chapter 5 first. Somebody needs to hear this. Verse 1, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith..." Remember, we've been made, our count's been caught up through faith. "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into faith, into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us to shame, but God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Well, God knows exactly what he's talking about. "You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, while we were still in sin, guys, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved through God's wrath through him? For if while we were enemies..." Is anybody in here an enemy of God? I'm not. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" That's what baptism is all about. Not only this, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Are you still with me? "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all have sinned, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, from the time of the first sin till the time of the law, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come." What command did Adam break? He only had one: don't eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift came by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" nor can the gift be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if the trespass of the one man through that trespass, one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life, Zoe, the very nature of God, without beginning, without end, that's what that means, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And you know, in several translations, it says that we will reign as kings through righteousness. So it's not talking about having this wonderful position that only manifests when you get to heaven. It's about taking that position, that gift that you've been given, unwrapping it, and beginning to walk right now, today, as if you were completely right with God, just like a baby coming out of the womb, but with the understanding of a mature child, passing from the guardianship of the law into true sonship, where you receive and utilize your inheritance right now. If you have to die to receive the inheritance, then you never had one. Because you receive inheritance from the one who died. Adam died, we got an inheritance. It was called sin in its nature. Jesus died, we got an inheritance. It was called righteousness and his very spirit and life. Praise the Lord. See, our righteousness is not based on what we do, it's based on what he did. He did that 2,000 years ago. You may have a real problem getting a hold of that, but I bet you don't have a problem getting a hold of this. Adam sinned and it affected your life. He died spiritually in the garden. He died 630 years later. And you don't have a problem understanding, I know you don't have a problem understanding that sin was in your life because Adam sinned. And you didn't receive Adam as your Lord, did you? And when you receive Jesus as your Lord, now you get, it can't even be compared. You not only get justified, you get righteous, and that puts you in the position that you can draw on the very life and nature of God and live as a king under God's rule, the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. I think the church is scared of that message because you know what happens? It empowers the church. It empowers you. It empowers me. Praise the Lord. It doesn't make you obligated as if you're earning righteousness by pleasing some government in the church. But when you see who you are in Christ, you become part of that government, whether you're a corporal or whether you're a general. Amen. 2 Corinthians, turn to chapter 3. May I go there, Lord? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Man, God is so smart. I'm telling you, I've seen it with things with this building. We had almost 60 days where we're going back and forth with the city and with engineers and designers and architects, going back and forth, back and forth. And I said, God, just show me. And I sat down with a piece of paper and I drew this thing out. And then they came back 60 days later and said, we don't know how you do it. How do you get this? How do you know that's the way it was built? Well, I don't. God does. He just sees things from a different vantage point. He freely reveals those to us. Amen. Verse 7. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in the letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Okay. We're not talking about comparing the sin of Adam. We're talking about comparing the righteousness that we can get by the law now. We're going to read verse 8 again. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious than what? Than the ministry that Moses brought down, the law. So if you could obtain a righteousness from the law, guys, and that's all the churches, that's all we've camped on now. That's all the church has camped on for about 2,000 years. And anytime somebody rises up and starts talking about the righteousness that's imputed to you, that's given to you through Jesus Christ, man, that guy gets crucified. Well, that's all right. I've already been crucified with Christ. It's no longer, it's not me that I'm living for. I'm living out of Him. So we're going to preach this thing. The ministry that Moses brought down was good because it brought a level of the blessing. It brought a level of justification. It brought a level of righteousness that could be obtained through works. But this righteousness comes by faith and it's eternal. Verse 10. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, and it did, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Everybody say bold. There's a difference between being bold and being arrogant. Look up here. Now, some people have thought I'm arrogant. No, I'm bold. Arrogance is when you think you're something you're not. When you're bold, you're acting in line with who you truly are. Arrogance is always based in a deception. And I don't have much confidence in my flesh. I don't put a lot of confidence in my intellect, but I put a whole lot of confidence in me being a son of God. I put a whole lot of confidence of me having the mind of Christ. I put a whole lot of confidence in the power of God working through me. You understand? And you should too. The thing that will neuter, emasculate, castrate the boldness out of your life, cut the thing off, will be you being more conscious of your sin than you being conscious or recognizing your righteousness. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Because remember, the glory on Moses' face was diminishing from the moment he was in the presence of God till he walked away. It diminished. Now hold on, here's the difference. The glory that's inside of you is eternal. The glory that's inside of you doesn't diminish. You're always, you've got an umbilical cord to Jesus, and Jesus has an umbilical cord to the Father. And what flows through that is the very life and nature that created everything you've ever seen, tasted, or touched. What flows through that umbilical cord is the very life and nature of the Father. And He isn't light, He lives in unapproachable light. And that power, the power that He exerted in Jesus when He raised Him from the dead, is what is inside of you. And it's not, I get a little dose here, I get a little dose there. Guys, you're connected. I remember back in the day when I was hanging out with the Goombas. And if somebody said they were connected, I mean, we knew what that meant. They were connected with natural authority that probably was illegal. Now, I'm connected to the one who made the laws. I can't, they used to say back in the mafia, I was not part of that. Back in those days, they used to say, you got made. If you got made, you came into the family, and there was no getting out. The only way you got out was, you got dead. That was the only way you got out. Well, you've been made. You've been made into the family of God. You've been born into that family. You're connected. There is no disconnecting you. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Jesus is it taken away. Even to this day, 2014, January, even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But when anyone turns to the Lord, come on, the veil is taken away. You'd do good to read 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, say me, who have with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You're connected. You've been made. You know, in this area and down at Oak Ridge, you know, and somebody finds out that they've gotten stamped by the government as being disabled. What do they call that? SSI. To them, that's being made. For some people, that's it, man. What does that mean? I'm going to have a check come in the mail every single month. I no longer have to work. I've been made. And then all the pressure for a couple months comes off. You guys know what I'm talking about? In the book of Ephesians, Paul prays that you just have a glimpse, a revelation of the in your spirit, in your inner man, how you've been made. You got something better than SSI. You have got the inheritance of heaven. And what has God called us to inherit? The entire earth and everything in it. And all the power that's in heaven. And all authority over what's under the earth. Do you understand? And when you start to carry yourself that way, you become bigger on the inside than you are on the out. And people who don't have the revelation of righteousness, they think you're arrogant, but you're not. You're just being bold. I am spectacular on the inside. And so are you. When I look at what God created inside of me, and how He formed me and fashioned my spirit and the authority that He's given me. I mean, it is a marvelous thing, and it just fills me with awe that God would do that for me, but He did it for you too. And I know I'm growing up in this revelation of righteousness, but you are too. And guys, you want to push me out ahead so you can follow, because that's the way things work in the body of Christ. I know what God has. I know God has created me to sit with kings, to sit with governors, to sit with presidents. I know He's created you to do the same thing. But I see it. It's not because of the things that I've done or because of education. It's because of righteousness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28, please. Man, God wants to do some stuff through you. And He will. Proverbs chapter 28. When you begin to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, it not only begins to cause your conduct or the way that you act to conform to that. Have you ever had anybody say you're too good to act that way? You're living below yourself. Well, sometimes that's meant with condemnation and guilt, but you know, you really, when you get and see who you are, you don't want to take yourself into certain establishments. When you begin to see the wonder of what God has made you on the inside, you don't want to live in sin. Because you don't want to take Him in that mess. All right. Proverbs chapter 28 says, "The wicked flee, though no one pursues. But the righteous are bold as a lion." Everybody say lion. Lion. Probably the best image I've seen of a lion as the Word of God kind of puts it forth. Because Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, did you see The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? That was by C.S. Lewis. And it really, the whole series of books are truths about Jesus Christ. Truths about what has been given to us in the Holy Ghost and how we're to take authority over this realm, not in the one to come. And C.S. Lewis was way ahead of his time in creating imagery for us to be able to grasp. Aslan. When you see Aslan, and boy, if you see it in the other one where he's sitting at the edge of eternity, where they go off into the ship and the world ends, and you see Aslan come up out of the glory, man, that's a picture of Jesus, and that's a picture of you. A lion doesn't fear what's behind him. A lion is so focused on his prey or protecting what is his, he doesn't have any fear of what's ahead of him. He's not caught up with what might be coming to the right or to the left. A lion knows his purpose, and he's very dogmatic in that. But when he if a cheetah came in the room, y'all, some of you go, "Oh, isn't he cute? Let me pet him." If a puma came in the room, some of the guys would say, "Oh man, I want to have one of those for a pet." But if a lion came in the room, you big boys would probably be on the top of your chair, trying to scramble up to the balcony. Because there's something about, he knows, it's what a lion knows, the power that he has. An elephant doesn't know. I'm serious. We walked up to an elephant when I was in Burkina Faso. This thing is standing as tall as the balcony and as far away from me as the balcony. And the guy who was with me, the guy started clapping his hands and yelling at it like it was a dog. And you know what that huge giant of a thing did? It turned around and ran and sent off a warning signal. Well, that's not what you do to a lion. I watched a video online a couple years ago of some guys that were out hunting. And there was three guys shooting at this lion. And you see this thing way off. It's so small on the screen. Way off. And they're probably fired 20 shots. And this lion keeps coming. And the last thing you see on the video is him taking out the guy with the camera. That's the way we're to be with Jesus. There's nothing that should stop you. You shouldn't even give it a second thought. I put it around my head. I'm causing my mind to be captive regarding this. I know that the glory of the Lord goes before me. So I don't have to worry about that. His favor's out there changing everything that I'm heading into. I got warring angels, the Word of God says, on my right and on my left. And His glory is my rear guard. So what do I have to concern myself with? Nothing. I just have to go. If I seek His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things are added unto me. I don't have a time. You don't have to either. You just got to go and listen to your nature. Just like a lion, when he yields to his nature, he's going to be what? The of the jungle. What is he? The king of the jungle. Jesus is the King of Kings. You're a king. You're a priest. You've been born that way now. Start acting like it. Quit looking at the ground when you're walking around and lift your eyes up to the horizon like you're going somewhere. Even if you don't feel like it, put your shoulders back and straighten up and walk and act like a king. That pleases God. Because that's what the righteous do. But you know what the unrighteous do? They're afraid. They're looking around the corner hoping something's not coming at them. They're looking up ahead for the things that could be a danger. They're worried about their past as if it's going to come and affect their future. The righteous don't do that. We stand tall. We stand proud. Yes, we've made mistakes. But God chooses to remember our sins no longer. And He cleansed us of unrighteousness. So therefore, we walk as Jesus walked. Jesus didn't walk with a sense of inferiority. He didn't walk as if He didn't have power. And when the disciples came on the scene, after Jesus had breathed on them, said, "Receive the Holy Ghost," and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, what did they do? They acted in such a way that the Pharisees and Sadducees said, "Where did these guys get this kind of authority? They're uneducated men. They're common laborers. Yet they're preaching a gospel that has confirmation, and they're bold. Like they know what they're doing." Praise the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Everybody say bold. Bold. Being bold is a fruit of understanding and accepting your righteous position in Christ. Now, if you are arrogant, it'll be obvious to all. In other words, if you're going to live a life of sin and think you're the righteousness of God in Christ, well, you know you're lying to yourself because your own heart condemns you. It convicts you. I'm talking about what you're living in, not what you did. What you're doing today and what you're planning on doing tomorrow, what you're making provision in your life to do next week. That's what will condemn you, not who God made you. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, everybody say the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right there, we're going to stop. You have to educate spirits, powers, and principalities, and even angels, according to your righteousness. Aren't angels ministering servants sent to serve those who would inherit salvation? They're not going to serve you in heaven because you'll have no need in heaven. They are supposed to serve you right now. Angels have a mind, they have an intellect, they are eternal beings, but they were made, just like your nature is to follow God, their nature is to serve you. So you better tell them what to do. They hearken to the voice of what? His word. We're going to have to teach on that, obviously. In him, verse 12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. What does it say in the King James? Boldness. In Christ Jesus, we can approach God with freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. There is boldness. There is confidence. So you yield to that Spirit. In other words, you don't have to go in. If you're going into God's presence and it is your pattern. Now listen, guys. I'm down here. Listen, if you're going into God's presence and your pattern is to go to God, and before you start praying, you repent, you're not living under righteousness. Repentance should have been automatic the minute you sinned. Because your nature, God's Spirit inside you, already shown you that. It causes that peace. That peace that comes with the Spirit of God is lifted and you can't see clearly. You're getting confused. Maybe it's manifesting in irritation or grumpiness or compulsive eating or drinking or I don't know. But it's going to manifest. You'll say, hey, what happened? I wasn't there Sunday when I got out of church. And now I'm all confused and I'm irritated. Well, it's because something is violating your conscience. The Spirit, your nature on the inside is saying, hey, wake up, dummy. I know, I used to get irritated. And I go, why? Nothing happened. Why am I? And I realized, well, I was thinking wrong in a certain area. Or I've done something that I didn't immediately change. So I've got to keep that thing clear. When you go into the presence of God, it shouldn't be to repent. It's to go do business. Is to conduct yourself with God, to come in as one of the governing authorities on the earth. You know, if every time Pastor Josh or Akilah or Mindy came into my office and we sat down about, you know, how we're going to govern the campus and govern the ministry or RJ, and we're going to talk about those things, if every time they did, they came and said, well, first 10 minutes, Pastor, I just want to make sure that you've forgiven me for this and you've forgiven me for that, and I'm really sorry, I fall short in this area and I don't do this well. Do you understand? When your relationship is right, you don't have to do that. And how many of you have had friends or family that all they ever do is apologize? All they ever do. Sometimes I think people do that because they want to hear that they're good instead of accepting the truth in God's word that they are. And then because people tell them they're good, therefore it brings credence or fact or evidence that they are. No, they were good already. When you understand your righteousness, you guys, when you come into God's presence, there's a boldness. When you receive His righteousness, it doesn't empower you to sin. It empowers you to come into His presence. And I'm not going to, you can't live, you know, it's not sloppy agape. You don't need a license to sin. You're sinning already. But listen, God's not counting your sin against you. Remember, blessed is the man who God doesn't account his sin, who doesn't hold his sin against him. That's what David got revelation of. That's what we see in the New Testament, because the law has been abolished in the flesh of Jesus for us. So we're not after being good. We're after keeping relationship with God. You know, you can't live in sin and be in a good relationship with God. You know that. Does that mean God can't work through you during that time? Well, absolutely He can. He worked through a donkey to rebuke a prophet. He worked through David. He worked through Samuel. He worked through Elijah. He worked through Enoch. And He worked through Abraham. And they all were a mess. You've arrived at the place of righteousness, and your actions are catching up. Okay? Praise the Lord. One last scripture. Let's go to Hebrews. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's begin in verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who is tempted in every way just as we are. Yet He did not sin. Let us approach God's throne of grace with boldness or confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us go boldly into the throne room of God so that we may receive grace and mercy. Everybody say grace and mercy. Grace, remember, is what God gives you that you don't deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give you what you deserve. You need mercy according to the law. You need mercy because you're not living at the level of your spirit. Because your spirit has been changed. It's been made new. It's without spot. It's without blemish. It's without wrinkle. You can pollute your spirit, but you cleanse it when you repent and confess your sin. Okay? So when you're living below your spirit, your nature, then you need mercy. Because what do you deserve when you live below the nature of God? It's sin, so it deserves death. It deserves a level of punishment, a level of chastisement, a level of discipline. But God doesn't treat us that way if we go in with the divine exchange. So we receive grace, which gives us the things that we don't deserve. According to the way that you and I live, we don't deserve to be healed. According to the way that you, just according to the way you and I live and we conduct ourselves and the things that we say, we don't deserve to have God provide for us. Come on. According to the way that we conduct ourselves, even if we're coming up in righteousness, we still don't deserve to be treated like Jesus. And you've been seated with Him in heavenly realms, and He's seated in you. You've been made one by the Spirit of God. You don't deserve, and I don't deserve, to be treated like a son of God. Therefore, I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve mercy. But when I get a perception, when my perception of righteousness, when I begin to be transformed on the inside out according to that revelation of righteousness, now I have something that I can exchange in the throne room of God for grace and mercy, and it's boldness. It's not arrogance. I'm very confident when I'm in the presence of God. There is no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. There is none. There is no condemnation for you that are in Christ Jesus. Now, you know you can't live any old way. That's not what I'm saying. But as you attempt to live according to the Spirit of God and according to the revelation that you have, when you are fully convinced of that, now you have something called boldness. When you go into the throne room, you give the boldness into the presence of God, and He freely gives you grace and mercy. And God said, it's very humbling. But I have a right to it. Because He said I did. I have a right to mercy, and so do you. I have a right to grace, and so do you. I have a right to His power, and so do you. I have a right to be, to just, I have a right to think that God hears my prayer and His answers are yes and amen. I don't earn it, neither do you. And what, I can't produce boldness, guys. If you're trying to produce something, if you're trying to produce boldness just by an act of your will, then it's going to come across as arrogance. If you're trying to act like something you can't see, it will come across as arrogant. But when you know that you know that you know because of God's word, bringing light, lighting up your spirit, causing the revelation to rise, not to say, causing a revelation to rise up out of your spirit to renew your mind. And when you agree with that, you believe in your heart, get your mind subjected or governed to it, now you see yourself as He does. And that produces something that's undeniable by men of authority, by every demon that came out of the pit of hell, by every angel that walks on this earth and is in the presence of God, and it's called boldness. Boldness is not a natural substance. It is a supernatural fruit of the revelation of who you are in Christ. Whew, that's good preaching. Now, I don't know about you, but in the last 50 minutes, the Lord said a lot of things. I would recommend you get the, you don't have to pay for it, but I'd recommend that you get the copy of it, because this thing will feed your spirit till Jesus comes. It will. It'll make you happy with you. It'll make God happy with you, because you're seeing that He's happy with you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Everybody bow their head this morning. Every eye closed, please. Lord, we love You. We worship You. We glorify You. Thank You for imparting to us the spirit of righteousness. With every head bowed, every eye closed, don't be looking around. It doesn't matter if you were born again yesterday or 55 years ago. If you need an increase in the revelation of the righteousness that belongs to you and already is, just slip up your hand in the presence of God right now. Yes. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, cause Your Spirit to quicken those who raise their hand, Father, to ignite inside of them the revelation. Light it up, Lord, so they can see who they are. Brand new future, a brand new start every morning. Nothing to hold them back in their past. Great expectation and hope in You. Nation shakers, city transformers, priests, and kings that reign in righteousness. If you're here this morning and you need to receive Jesus in your heart, just raise up your hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for this revelation. We receive it. Put your hand on your heart with me. Say, I receive a fresh revelation of the Spirit of righteousness. I am right with You, God. I am pleasing to You, God. My past is gone, and my future is wide open. Lord, I receive the revelation of my righteousness. Thank You. I am the righteousness of You. I am righteous in Christ. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I'll walk in it and I'll reign in it. In Your Son's precious name. Amen and amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, stand to your feet with me. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. I believe He has done some things.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.